In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 11 and 26. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christians. Here we find that these disciples were first called a Christian in this city as they assembled themselves together and taught. As the Lord gave me this morning, I just felt very touched by the significance of being able to be called a Christian, Christ follower, Christ-like. I think it's neat that it says they were first called that there. It didn't say they first called themselves that. People started calling them Christians because they followed Christ. They were so much like Christ that when a person saw them, they knew there was something special about them. And they say, oh, yeah, they're those Christians. You know, it's special to be named after someone that's really a beautiful person. Some of you were named after your mother or your grandparents or your aunts or your uncles. Somebody was named after somebody that was important to your mother and dad. And when you grow up, you learn about that person and you say, well, that's my favorite aunt. I mean, she's so sweet. She's so nice. And you're named after that person. I feel it's a tremendous privilege that my son is named after me, Michael Leland Aikens Jr. I like it. I remember he was little, running around. I said, there's the little me. They used to call him my little shadow, you know. We almost named Angela Michelle. You didn't know that, did you? I was pulling for it, yeah. Not really. But you know, to be named after someone that's famous is a privilege. To have that name upon you. You know, if I would have been named after my father, Malcolm Leroy Aikens, that would have been kind of a special privilege to me. And I would have been very careful how I wore that name. Oh, that's Malcolm's kid. Now, what does that mean? Oh, that's Mike Aikens' kid. Is that good or bad? Now, I had the privilege of being my kid the other day. I was in there in the palace dining, and there was a guy kept staring at me, and I knew him about 12 years ago, and his wife and him kept going, I said, oh boy, what are they saying about me? He went over there and said, how's the food? He came up to me and says, no, he's not. She said, yes, he is. I said, you're not Mike, are you? I said, oh, I thought you was a little older to be your son, but I didn't think he was Mike. So I felt good about that. But for a moment there, I got to be my own son, you know? But you know, to have that name upon you, Dad's name. You all have your parents' name. You did have. Some of you women, they all have your husband's name. Wasn't that special? Maybe it wasn't in your situation, but it can be and it should be, amen? That's an Aikens, that's a Potts, that's a Bergen, that's a Ruby, you know? That's a Barker kid. You know, that's one of those Patton kids. That's a Patton kid right there. Man, I tell you what, when you wear that name, you're saying you're bringing honor or dishonor to your parents, amen? Like one day I was watching TV and it says, there's a big drug bust. And on there it says, Mike Aikens was arrested for selling drugs. I about fell off my chair. I said, oh no, they're going to frame me for something. But it wasn't this Mike Aikens, it was another Mike Aikens, you know. But I didn't like it. I didn't like my name being on TV saying, Mike Aikens got caught. I mean, the telephone started ringing off the hook. Mike, I didn't know you're dealing nowadays, you know. I'm not. But the name that you carry reflects in where you got it. When people say they know my son, I hope that he's carrying that name right out there. You know? Because it means something to me. Doesn't it mean something to you? And they say, oh, so you're Mrs. Moore. Or Mrs. Kaufman. I get it right. So you're Mrs. Patton. Now, some women in the liberation era, they don't like that. They don't like to be called by their husband's name. They want their own name. It's like Satan wanting to be his own God, you know? But you're joined together as a team. Oh. So that's who you are. So you're Mrs. Reagan, you know? So how would you like to be named Mrs. Christ? How many would have volunteered for that? This is Mrs. Christ, you know? But see, the name means something. The name identifies you with somebody, with a family, with a husband, with a parent. Amen? And we should wear our names with pride, spiritual pride. You are a Christian. You're a Christ kid. Hey, you know Herman over here works over at the Pen? Yeah. He's one of Christ kids. What kind of a dad do you have? I want to know what kind of dad you got, Mary. What kind of dad you got? I want to see if I can see him in your eyes. But you know, you see what I'm talking about? Boy, I tell you what, we carry a name. Christ follower. Now, nowadays, people laugh at that name. I watch TV on a nightly basis, and you know, you get that good old news on. But nowadays, you can get to hear about Christians all the time. Amen? Used to be you never heard about them on TV. And they laugh at Christians. Christians nowadays are held up to a public ridicule. Amen? We went down in the ghettos last year to talk to the people in the ghettos. They say, oh, are you one of those Baker guys? Baker kids? That's what they'd call us down there. You're probably another Jim Baker, they told me. You know? And they said all kinds of dirty things to us as the girls and guys were going out, you know, witnessing. Because Christians nowadays have not brought glory in the positive way to the name of Christ like we'd like to. Amen? Now, I'm not knocking the Christians because everyone can make a mistake. Amen? How we deal with our mistakes makes a lot of difference, too. I really appreciate, I don't want to belabor this point. We've talked about this for several weeks, but it's been a big thing. I appreciate the difference between what I saw on TV, and I'm not putting anybody down. I just want to make a point. When I saw Jim Baker face up to his problem and saw Jimmy Swagger face up to his problem, wasn't there a marked difference in what they said and what they did? Now, I'm not knocking Jim Baker. He's got his own style. But I'm just saying, for me, I felt like Jimmy Swaggart, when he was in repentance, he wasn't trying to whitewash it. He said, hey, I blew it. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. With tears, I felt blessed to see him, you know, be able to repent like that and not try to whitewash his sin. Amen? So we're not perfect, but we need to strive to bring glory back to the name of Jesus Christ in our society. People may not like you if you're a Christian, but deeply inside, they'll respect you. Did you know that? Even people who talk about you and people who lie about you and say things about you that's not even true, down inside of them, they envy you if you're living like you should. Amen? And if you're facing up to your wrongs like a man or like a woman should, to carry the name of our Savior is an awesome responsibility. I tell you, this morning, I feel the impact of that because God's given this sermon. I carry the name of Christ upon me. Oh, God, don't let me dishonor him as I walk in this.
If I do make mistakes, God give me the integrity to stand up and to face my mistakes right. Amen. And let me have love in my heart. Let me be what a Christian should be. Let's don't dishonor our parent, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. But what does it mean to be a Christian? You know, I feel like we as Christians are somewhat confused about what we should be as Christians. What does it mean to be a Christian, to glorify your Father? And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to carry the name of Christ upon you? Now, I want to make sure that you understand something this morning. I'm not here this morning to make you feel condemned. Now, the devil's going to try to take this sermon and do that to you. We're not here to feel, oh, I'm not a very good Christian. Oh, I don't think I'm really been a good example. I'm not glorifying my Father. How many's already started having those thoughts? Anybody? Good, not too many, but a few. Because Satan will try to do that to you. No. It's like opening your eyes on a nice spring day and say, wow, I'm alive. That happened to me many years ago. I just working hard night and day. Boy, the wrinkles were getting deeper and deeper and deeper in my face. And I had heart problems. And I was, man, as a young man, I was ruining myself because I was taking life so serious and just spinning my wheels. How many's ever done that? And one day I woke up. It was the day, what happened to me was the day before that a man had come into my shop and he was standing out there. I was making an estimate. I looked up at him. He was about 60 years old, something like that. He's looking around. He's saying, wow, it's neat to be alive. But Mike, he says, look at the color in life. It's neat to be alive. And when he said that, I had chills run down my back. It kind of frightened me. And a few days later, the man died. And I think that's what I was sensing within me, that he was facing death. And I was looking at life and this life for the last few times. And chills ran all over me. And the next day, I woke up. And I was in the same condition of mind. It kind of frightened me. I thought, maybe, you know, what was going to happen to me? But and I say the next day, it probably wasn't the next day. When I talk like that, I'm just figuratively. It could have been a few days later. But I woke up and I walked out, and the sun was bursting over the horizon. And I looked at the cloud and the colors and the sky and people and my family. And I thought to myself, oh, God, thank you. I'm alive. I'm alive. Thank you for waking me up. And that's how we need to do about the name that we carry. I'm a Christian. I carry the name of the Creator upon me. The whole world has an opportunity to see what God is like through my life. Even if we make a mistake, we can do it in a very honorable way. Amen. I'm a Christian. But what does it mean to be a Christian? What does the Bible say that God looks to us to be like so that he can be glorified in us as Christians? Some of this is just normal stuff that we talk about all the time, but I want to connect it to our name. I want God to plant it in your hearts. Now, I want you to walk out of here this morning carrying those shoulders back, smile on your face. Glory around you. And I'm a Christian. Not, oh, woe is me, I'm not a good example. We all can be good examples. I'm a Christian. I'm going to let my light shine. Amen? For the first thing, you know, I'd like to point out is in John 13:35, it says, they'll know you. They know you're my disciples because of your love one for another. Now I know we all should be loving to everyone. Right? You should love our enemies. But I want to point out something. It seems to me like that God would have said, they'll know you are my children because of how you can love your enemies. that would seem more logical to me, because it's harder to love your enemies than it is to love your friends. Amen? When I was out in the world, there was a degree of love shared between those who are of the world. The Hell's Angels have a pretty good fellowship. They'll die for each other, right? And I used to be part of the, good old Black Cats. Not quite as bad as the Hell's Angels, but we had the Black Cats. Boy, no one better mess with the Black Cats. Man, we were buddies. So if the world can love each other, then why is it, why isn't it more special that Christians can love the unlovable, the enemies? It seems like God would have said in His Word, "You'll know My children because they're able to love the unlovable. They're able to love the enemies." Doesn't that seem like be logical to you, that that'd be more logical? But God didn't say that. Now here's where the wisdom of man is not like the wisdom of God. He says, they're going to know you're My disciples by the love you share between you. When I finally captured reality of that, it's mind-blowing. Because it is very special that Christians can love their enemies. And the world knows that. Because when you love someone out in the world that's your enemy, they cannot handle it. It blows their mind. So, yes, it is a marked difference between a Christian and a sinner by a Christian being able to love the unlovable, love their enemies. I think that's a tremendous difference between us and the world. So first of all, we're going to start with A love, and that's what the world has for each other. Then we're going to start with B love, and that is the Christian's ability to love the unlovable, to love their enemy, and that's far above the world's love. Amen? Got that? Let's get A love down here, the world's love. They think it's great. They live for it, they die for it, don't they? Doesn't the people of the world live and die for love and money and power? Love, money, and power. Love, 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 love. That's all you read about. Sex, love, all that stuff, right? And then they just go crazy over love out there to the point it ruins them. But then they get Christian love for their enemies is way above that. But then I want you to think about this. Now let's look at loving your enemy. It's tough to love your enemy. I'm not talking about somebody down the block that you don't even know, so I love all the world. Okay, you do, huh? Do you love that person that's talking about you and gossip about you? Do you love that person that's stealing from you? Do you love that person, that's mistreating your children? How many's ever had your children mistreated by someone? How many got really mad? You're not a kidding, boy. You mess with mine, boy. How many's ever had your wife, dishonored when you're out in public, some hoods or something, would say, look at blank, 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 blank. How many's ever had something like that happen? No? Where do you hang out? I've walked with my wife and some guys start talking about her. I want you to know my blood started boiling on the inside. Because I didn't like what I was hearing. Didn't like that, but still could love them anyway, right? When someone lies about you and gossips about you and does you wrong, boy, I tell you what, someone close to you, you love them anyway. That's hard to do, amen? Really love them. Really care for them. Can you see the kind of love I'm talking about for your enemy? Got it? But now, the Bible says there's a love that's even beyond all of that. Like a love beyond all of that. And that is the love that should be shared between the body. I don't know if you're capturing this, but get ready. You're going to capture it. We're going to get it. If the love's the world's love looks good, have you ever seen two young kids walk down the street and you can't tell there's one or two? Or they're driving, you're driving along, and all of a sudden two heads comes out, and you think, oh, that was a freak. How many parents have ever told your kids, I want to make sure I can see two of you driving? Not one. Amen? That's the world. Boy, the world looks like, man, their love looks good. But the Bible says that our love will be so much greater that people will see it very distinctly as being different. To say, oh, you're a Christian. I can tell by the love that you have for each other. The Bible says do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Now, here's my point. If that's the kind of love that glorifies God, even beyond the love for an enemy, even beyond the world's great love for itself. But our love as a Christian should be so great for each other that the world can see a distinct difference. Your love for your Christian brothers and sisters, now get this, your love for your Christian and brothers and sisters should be far beyond your love for your own blood relation. The Bible even says that if you don't hate your mother, hate your father, hate your wife, hate your husband, hate your brother, hate your sister, hate your children, you're not even worthy of him. The word there in the word hate in the Greek is a void of a certain kind of love. That's the way I understand it. And what it's saying is the difference between your love for Christ and your love for your blood relation is the world of difference. Amen? And Christ dwells in your brothers and sisters. You know, we put so much emphasis on our blood relationship. And we should care for our loved ones. But let me tell you something. Spirit runs thicker than blood. You heard of blood runs thicker than water? Is that what it is? Okay. Spirit runs thicker than blood. That spirit is closer than blood. You know your blood is not as close to you as you think. Your own blood that runs through your veins. How many thinks your blood is real close to you? It runs in you, doesn't it? But it's not as close to you as you think it is. Because, see, you're the inner person. You're the spirit. And there's a world of difference between the physical and the intangible. Your blood can't get to your spirit. I mean, it's running all through there. And a spirit is something so intangible, the blood just keeps running through it. But if someone's got the spirit of God in them, they're closer to you than your own blood. Now, I know probably most of you don't feel that way, but that's Bible for you. You can become closer because you've got a fellowship in Christ that runs closer than a fellowship of blood. Now, the world's proven that to be true because kids kill their parents nowadays, don't they? You read about it, I can't understand it. But I listen to kids. Kids talk mean to their parents, don't they? Isn't it true? We are seeing this true, that blood bonds aren't as strong as they should be. Parents take their kids and they just soon throw them to the wolves. You find nowadays that it's true, that blood doesn't run as thick as the world used to think it does. Look at the world, it's chaotic. There's not hardly any love out there. Spiritual relationship is the key. And the Bible says that we're going to have such a tremendous love for each other that the world will see a distinct difference. I'd like to see this body right here open their mind up to that. And open your mind up to the scriptures and start thinking about it. Your Creator dwells within each of us. Amen? I would like to get to the point that you start to say something negative about each other and it makes you sick at your stomach. Do you know that's how I feel when I start to say something about one of you? Say I get frustrated at you. Do you know I get frustrated once in a while? Because when I see someone hurting themselves over and over again, I think, oh. And I start to say something of a critical nature. Now, sometimes I've got to consult, you know, with a leader or something about somebody, but I'm not talking about that. But I just start to say something critical. And do you know it makes me feel repulsed? It makes me feel kind of sick. It makes me feel ugly. I can't even go ahead and do it. I feel like, would be a good word? Spewing up. Is that a good word, Lauren? You know, I'm serious, man. Don't you? I want us to get to that point that we can't even say something about our brother and sister bad without it being sticking in our throat and we start coughing. And when we look at each other and we're doing, if someone's doing something wrong, that your heart is broken with compassion, not challenged by it. I know right now, if you had a daughter or a son out on the streets taking drugs, being a prostitute or a whoremonger, we always talk about the girls, we talk about the guys too, right? If you had someone out there that is your child and they was 11 years old, I know that you would not be probably would not be mean to that child as far. You'd be broken. You'd be crying. Amen? Let's feel the same way towards each other when we see someone in the body hurting or with sin, doing things wrong. Amen? We need to have a special love for each other. Do we think about each other during the day? And when we think about each other, it's a good feeling to think about each other. We're not challenged by each other. We're not jealous of each other. How many of you admit that sometimes you get jealous of people in the body that get to do everything and be everything and they got the voice and they got this? How many of you get jealous or have got jealous before? Do you get jealous of your 5-year-old kid that gets up there and sings? How many would not get jealous of that 5-year-old child if you had one? Can't you feel the same way towards each other? Do you see the kind of love I'm talking about? When your sister and brother does something great, can't you just feel good for them and not feel jealous and envious? What else will mark us as a Christian? In Luke 9:23, it says, if you want to follow me, come after me. And that's what the word Christian means, a Christ follower. But you got to deny yourself. Take up your cross on a daily basis. Amen? Deny yourself. Stop being so self-centered. Boy, the world is self-centered. Man, we are self-centered. Aren't we? Someone hurt my feelings. Someone stepped on my toes. Right? Well, how could they treat me this way? Me, 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 me. Didn't your parents ever teach something else besides I and me? I'm talking to all of us. Me too. See? Me. Come on. Why is it that that our thermometer is always stuck in the self? How things are affecting me? How am I going to make it? You should get so in love with each other and so in love with Christ that me don't matter. Hallelujah. It's like the person in the foxhole, and he's been with these guys for a year, and he's maybe in Vietnam or World War II or something, and then they've become close to each other. They're buddies. They've seen a few of their buddies die one by one, and they've seen some of them shot. They've seen some of them cry, and they've comforted each other in the midst of a darkened night, and they're close, and the grenade is tossed in. And the person don't even think about it. They fall upon the grenade and be blown to pieces, amen, without even thinking about it. Just seconds, they make a decision to give their life for their comrades. Why? Because they have become unselfish, and they've seen the agony of their brothers, and they're willing to die for them. Can't we become so in love with each other, so in love with our Creator, that we just forget about how we're being affected? You know, I have a hard time answering a question people ask me. How you feeling? Grandma's always been nice to me. She always said, she just really loves me. She just says, oh, how you feeling? So much compassion in her, she does it. It touches my heart. But you know, I'm like a kind of a computer. I go, it short circuits me. How are you feeling? And I'm not bragging about it. I'm just giving an example because I know me better than anybody else. But I can't relate to how I feel. You know? I don't know how I'm feeling. How many's ever asked me that? How you feeling? How many's ever asked me? I don't know how I'm feeling. I lose track of it. You know, we have a terrible time. You know, sometimes my family and I would go out to eat. Because they say, where do you want to eat? And they say, well, where do you want to eat? And we say, well, where do you want to eat? Well, where do you want to eat? And we have a terrible time getting to eat anywhere. And everybody goes, where do you want to eat? Where do you want to eat? Where do you want to eat? And that's the way we should become even 100 times more. It's not how I feel. Forget how you feel. Does it really matter? Does it matter what you feel like? I mean, I'm going to live for millions of years. I'll have all the pleasures of the universe at my disposal. Why in this little life that only lasts for a moment? I mean, just a moment does all this life last. 60 years is nothing. 70, 80, 90 years is nothing. Grandma, you're nothing but an infant compared to God. Can you imagine? He'd been around for billions of years. And here's this little kid down here named Opal Ruby. You know, God could sit down with you and say, hey, you young whippersnapper. Right? He could do that. Because, hey, Katie, you're a young whippersnapper, you know? Then God, man, he's been around for billions of years, and you've only been alive for a second. A vapor. Is your life all that important? If how you feel, well, I don't get to eat much. So what? The food goes in, it goes out, it goes in and goes out. Who cares about it? Amen? We need to get involved in how others feel. How can I affect others in a way that will last forever? Not how I can affect someone in a temporary. Some of us parents, we get by but buying our kids things. And they get so happy. They buy them a little dress. They put the little dress on. They get in the mirror. And they go, and we, you know what we're doing? It's a cop out. Because we don't take time with our kid to set them on our knee to go walking in the park and go up on the little train bridge. Remember that, kids? All my kids have experienced this. We walk up on that little train bridge, take the little rocks and throw them off in the water. A couple hours out there talking. No, we'll buy him a dress and buy him, and the kids don't get mad at me, buy him a bicycle, buy him a tricycle. Come on, let's take some time to affect their lives. I used to make the presents for my kids and help them make it. We make them together. They make me one, I make them one. You know? Instead of going out and going to an amusement park where you get quick thrills, there's no interpersonal relationship. Come on, let's go wade in the river together. If you can find one that's not polluted anymore, you know. Let's go out in the wilderness and let's set out on a blanket underneath the tree. Let's lay back and let's look up at the clouds go by and talk about things. You see what I'm saying? We take the easy way out in our relationships. Honey, let's go out and eat tonight. That's the only exciting thing that the wife can look forward to. Gonna go out and eat, sit around in some place, and it's okay. It's neat. They deserve it. But what about taking a little more time to do something intimate? And I'm getting carried away in the subject, but I'll get back on track here. I don't know if I can find it. But we really, 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 really need to stop worrying about how we are affected. Well, how we are affected. How people bother me. Man, how can I touch a life, Jesus? How can I touch a life that will never be the same? How can I touch that life to make an imprint on it? A dynamic imprint. Do you know you can talk to a person one time and they'll remember you the rest of their life? Do you know that? I've had it happen sometimes. It blows my mind sometimes how someone will remember you 15 years later. They met you one time. One time. And they call you 10 years later and said, I've been thinking about you. How you doing? I remember I was in Michigan. I think it's Michigan. Ada, Michigan, yeah. And I was there for business, and I stayed up all night talking to this young girl that had a lot of problems. Now, this was like, how many years ago? 20 years ago? 16 years ago? 17 years ago? And I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, I got a call. And she says, hi, Mike. Or she says, is this Mike? I said, yeah. This is so-and-so. Who's so-and-so? Remember Ada, Michigan? We stayed all night and talked about the Lord. She said, I really want you to know from that moment on, I've served the Lord. She's still serving the Lord. And I'm not bragging myself because, you know, this is God. But the deal is, wow, I only talked to her that one night in her whole life, and now she's serving the Lord. A motorcycle rider in Missouri is a deacon on a board down there because I went and knocked on his door. I told you this story before. Walked in, there's potty on the floor. He's a big old guy. Beard and mean, but his little kids went to church and they wanted me to go talk to daddy about Jesus, and I was scared to death to talk about it. I walk up in that porch, there's a great big old motorcycle there, bigger than I was, you know. Scary. I went in there one time, and I talked to them one time, and led them to the Lord. And then I find out years later, hey, man, I'm a deacon now at a church in Springfield, Missouri. It's God. God in your life and in my life can be so magnificent that just at one time can change your life. Make an impact. But you got to stop thinking, how's this going to affect me? How am I being affected by all this? It's not fair. As far as I'm concerned, everything's fair in war. You know? So if something happens to me bad, I say, oh, that's okay. I expect it. I expect bullets to go flying around in war, don't you? Have you ever guys seen a show or anything and someone's out there in war and the bombs are rolling up and say, where's all these bombs coming from? I mean, you're in a war. You're going to have bombs coming. You're going to have bullets coming, right? You might even get shot. You might even get killed. But that's all right, isn't it? Make an impact by being unselfish. What's next? In Galatians 6:5, it says, every person must carry their own burden or responsibility. In that Greek, there's responsibility. They should be able to see responsibility in you if you're going to carry the name of Christ. Christians sometimes, now it's nothing to do with Christianity, this is really the world. Someone's irresponsible in the world. Okay? How many's ever been irresponsible before? I'm looking. I've been there. I've been irresponsible. So they're out in the world and they're irresponsible, so they get saved and then they change the name of it. It's not irresponsibility now, it's being led by the Spirit. Honey, I'm sorry. I can't go out and make any money to feed you because I'm being led by the Spirit of God. Honey, I can't clean the house anymore because I'm being led by the Spirit. Employer, I've got to quit this job because now I'm being led into the full-time ministry. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a few exceptions. God does call some people to full-time ministries. But, you know, a lot of times all the Christians want to be in full-time ministry. Why not? You don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. Now I'm exaggerating, but you know, they've taken and they've colored the irresponsibility over now, but I'm so righteous. I'm being led by the Spirit, you know. I want you to know something, that God is a responsible God. Amen? You walk out on a normal night and most of the stars stay in place, don't they? I'd hate to see walk out on the night and all the stars just darting all over the place. You know? You put a seed in the ground, most of the time it comes up, doesn't it? You don't go sideways, downways, all the sucker comes up. I mean, the sun comes up, doesn't it? And the sun knows exactly where to come. It comes right on the same every day. Wouldn't it be funny if the sun got out there? You know, and I'm being a little silly, I know, but you know, that's how silly it is. God is a responsible God. When his kids got in trouble, he went out and paid the cost for his own kids, didn't he? He's a responsible God. And the Bible is filled with responsibility. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to husbands. Wives, take some responsibilities at home on. Do a good job. Husbands, go out there and make some money. Give to the poor. Amen? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is the first commandment with promise. Owe no man nothing but to love. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean you don't go in debt, but it means you don't get behind on your payments. You don't owe the debt, the payment, until it comes due, do you? Have you ever got a bill from the credit union or something or a department store, and it's due on the 15th, and they send you a bill on the 1st and say, hey, would you come down and pay this on the 1st? How many's ever had that happen? Or they send a bill early and say, they send a bill early and say, you're late. You owe me. They know that you don't owe them usually, normally. You don't owe the person until the date is due. Amen? I just want to stop and mention on that. But still, there's a responsibility not to get behind. Amen? There's a responsibility. And the reason why I believe, I might spend a little more time on this, the reason why I believe that it's not talking about getting in debt, because the Bible wouldn't be talking about usury, loaning money, and things like that if there wasn't such a thing. Right? So someone's going to be in debt one side or the other. But you see, there's responsibility. The Bible is full of teaching us to be responsible. If we're going to be a Christian, let's be responsible. Hey, let's balance the checkbook out. How many of you have ever had problems with balancing the checkbook? Oh, yeah, I'll get it later. I'll write it. You know, yeah, I've done this. I'm the worst one at this. Oh, you're in Dillon's. You write a check. You tore it out. Oh, my goodness. I'll write it somewhere. You know, then you go home and think, okay, I got to balance the checkbook. Let's see, where did I write that at, you know? And you write the size of your coat down or something, you know, and you get all fouled up. The point of it is, be responsible. Christians, come on, be responsible. Amen? The Bible teaches, you borrow something, what do you do with it? Come on, what do you do with it? You return it. How many has ever blown something out and you haven't got back yet? Let's see your hands real big. Ooh, now let me ask you this. How many has borrowed something and you haven't returned it yet? Yeah. Responsibility as a Christian is very important. Develop yourself to your fullest potential. Developing yourself to your fullest potential is a requirement to wear the name of Christ correctly. Matthew 25 and 15 through 28 talks about the talents that were given to each person. God was not satisfied with anyone not developing their talents out completely. Right? The one that had five, he expected them to develop it. The one that had three, he expected them to develop. The one that had one, he expected them to develop it. Christians, let me tell you something. If you're going to honor God, you need to develop all your talents out. There's too many people today that's willing not to be totally everything they can be. It's called laziness, sometimes fear. And we make excuses. Now, we can't judge each other in this now. Let's not get judging, but, you know, I'm talking to each individual. How many has ever said this? And I have a lot of times. Oh, yeah, I just feel like I'm not doing everything I should do for the Lord. How many has ever said that? Come on, let me see your hands real quick. Okay. I've said it a lot of times. And it's good to have an attitude trying to do more. But if I really mean that, if I really honestly mean that there's things in my life I'm not doing I should be doing, I better do it. Amen? Because you get the Lord, you get up in heaven, get to the Lord, you're going to say, well, Lord, you know, some things down there I just didn't get done, I should have done for you. You think he's going to say, oh, that's okay, Misty. He's going to say this, that's right. Let me come over here and look at this screen I got prepared for you. Turn on the projectors, angels. Do you see back here? This is what it's done that you did. Listen, we only have one chance in this life, one life, to do what God has called us to do. Amen? There's no more chances once you're gone. You've got to live with your record forever. Think about it. Some of you don't like the record you have to live with now, do you? People say, yeah, I know this person. Because I know what they've done. You, once you're dead and you're resurrected, you're going to have to live with your record for millions of years of what you did in this important battle that took place on planet Earth in the 20th century. For the rest of your life, you're going to have to live with it. And it's going to be important to you. You're not going to go to heaven and God is not going to, you're not going to get there and he's going to be brainwashed. Sometimes we think of heaven that way. You know, we're down here, we're thinking, and we're concerned about things, and this and that. So we get to heaven, walk through this door, and go, dee, 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 dee. Ah, everything's just so beautiful up here. No thinking, you know. Everything's, oh, we're all so happy together. No, you're going to think, you're going to remember. You say, y'all better wipe away the tears. Okay, he's going to wipe away the tears. That doesn't mean there's not going to be a difference, because the Bible says someone will get a greater reward. If the reward was exactly the same for everybody, then be, and everyone was conscious of exactly this same consciousness of rewards, then how can it be a greater reward? How can it be greater punishment? The Bible says there'll be greater punishment and greater reward. There will be a difference forever, and you will be concerned about it. Your level of happiness will be affected. We need to do all that we can do and be all that we can be right here. Amen. I do not want one soul to go to hell because I didn't do my job. How about you? I would be terrified to have one soul burning in hell year after year after year after year and have to think that soul burneth there because I didn't do what I should have done. I'm gonna stop and think about that. Come on, this is serious. This is serious. Bible says in Isaiah that they're going from one Sabbath to the other and looking in at the carcasses of them that are being burned. It says this is in the new heavens and new earth. Now, wait a minute. If I am not going to have any feelings, if I can't feel bad about what I did or what somebody else did or anything else, then why in the world am I going looking in there? What's the point of looking in there at the hell? You see what I mean? What am I supposed to feel? I think I'm going to feel something. It's going to be a remembrance to me. I do not want to live forever with the understanding that I fell short and I could have done something more for God. That God was working in my heart to do something that's going to make a difference in lives and I didn't do it. Who knows what it is? If it's leading someone to the Lord, if it's going picking up someone, taking them to church, if it's taking some groceries to that person so they can feel the love of Christ, if it's making a donation that's going to make a difference in the ministry, whatever, I don't know what it is, but we all are called to do something, amen? And we need to do it because you've got to live forever with that. And it's going to be a real life just like this life is, amen? Develop your talents. Come on, you're supposed to be a preacher? Be a preacher. If you're supposed to be a teacher, be a teacher. They may not be the same kind as somebody else. Maybe you only teach once in a while, preach once in a while. But whatever you're supposed to be, you need to be it. Amen? Whatever it is, we need to be it with all our might. What else? As a Christian, we should be heavenly minded, not earthly minded. Heavenly minded, not temporal minded. To 2 Corinthians 4:18 and 2 Corinthians 5:7, in these we find that we need, as a Christian, they should see a difference in us because we don't get buried in the temporal things. Have you ever been around people and all they talk about is temporal things, all they worry about is temporal things? That person standing there saying, "Oh, am I? Boy, I was concerned about my car, you know." We shouldn't sit around and be concerned about our cars and concerned about our houses, concerned about, you know, our clothes, you know, concerned about, you know, all these temporal things. The weather. Who cares what the weather's like today? Well, I wonder if it's going to be a good day or not, how the weather's going to be. Who cares how the weather is? If it rains or snows or shines, Christians should all function the same anyway, man. But we should get our mind off the temporal things. This is not clean enough. That's too clean. I want to know something. I want to know what's happening in the spiritual realm, don't you? I want to know what's going on with your soul. I want to know what's going on with mine. I want to know what's going on in this world, in the spirit world, the things that count. Christians, come on. We should be spiritually minded, not temporal minded. Amen? And then the last basic point is that we should be obsessed in the body of Christ. Now, I've touched a little bit of this on loving one another. Christians should have an obsession about their function within the body. They should have a love for the body that's beyond normal. They should have a sense of responsibility to the body of Christ beyond normal. You know, even people out in the world are obsessed with their clubs, aren't they? Do you understand that Christ has joined us together in the body, that actually this is Jesus Christ right here? You represent Jesus Christ in the flesh? And that we in the body, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not to neglect the assembling yourselves together, and even more so as the day cometh. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that every joint has something to supply. We should be obsessed with our function within the body. That doesn't mean neglect your family, because that's part of the body. If you minister to your family, you minister to the body. Amen? You minister to the wife, you minister to the body. You minister to the husband, you minister to the body. I'm not saying neglect anything. I'm saying, though, we should have a tremendous love and a desire and a sense of responsibility to each other that goes beyond anything the world has ever seen. And nothing should diminish that at all. Do you understand that? Shake your head this way if you do. Because I'm going to spend about 30 minutes on it if I don't. I want you to understand that. That's the Bible. Don't think of this as a church building and this is the Church of the Living God building and we go down there and visit or remember down there. Don't think about it as Mike's church or people that come together once in a while. That's not the body. The body is the people that are fellowshipping within this local body. We are the church. Amen? We are the church. You're the church. I'm the church. We're the living church. Christ within us makes it the church. It's vital. It's important. We need to esteem each other and honor each other and love each other, care about each other, think about each other, give what we have in our hearts to each other that we're supposed to give. Amen? We should be obsessed like we were when you had a family in the natural world, when the little kids were growing up. He's obsessed with the family. You should be obsessed with the church. The church is an institution of God. This is where you have the fellowship of all the members of God together. It should be something that's prevalent in your life. People treat church nowadays like a social club. Well, I don't know where I go. I don't know if I'll stay or I'll leave. I'll choose who I like or dislike. Wow, that's not treating the church like the holy institution that it is. Amen? A living organism. No, I would not dream of leaving the church that God draw me to. I would not dream unless God said go. If I felt in my heart that God was moving me, then I would. But people choose churches like putting on dresses or suits. You know? Man, it's serious business where I'm at in the church. Amen? This is my family. I'll die with you someday probably. Or get raptured with you. I prefer that, don't you? I have no plans in leaving you. It's not my 5 years is not, you know, done past. I hadn't left. You know, 5 years is about the average for a preacher, they say. You're my babes. You're my lambs. Doris, you're my lammy. I'm, you know, it's neat. I get to, you're my little lamb. Put you in my arms. Grandma, you're my lamb. Shirley, you're my lamb. You see, we have a holy relationship. It should be sacred. Amen? And if people will see that, they'll see that, and it'll glorify God. Amen? To wear the name of a Christian. It's awesome, isn't it? It's awesome. And these are some of the points this morning that you need to be conscious of when you wear the name Christian. Christ-like, Christ follower. Amen? It should be something special. And if you'll recognize these points, love for one another, being God-centered, not self-centered, be a responsible person, develop your talents to the fullest, be heavenly-minded, not temporal-minded, be obsessed with the body. If you do all those things, you will glorify God in your walk. They'll look at you, you'll be beyond normal. The Bible says be a peculiar person. If you're not peculiar, you're not fulfilling the Bible. He says, you'll be a peculiar person. The word peculiar, beyond normal. Some of you sit back, you let the devil beat you down and think, I can't do these things. I can't. Yes, you can. You come to me and you get a personal counseling session and I will teach you how. Come on. You can be great. Katie. Kay, Mom. Judy. Dolores. Grandma, Ruby, Mary, Teresa, Helen. I see, by the way. Anne, you can be dynamic and great. Develop your talents. Don't you dare sit back and think, well, I'm kind of over the hill. What hill you're over? Which hill? There's a lot of hills. There's big hills, little hills. Which hill? You're over the highest hill yet? No, there's always a higher hill, right? You're not over the hill. You can touch a life. Grandma and Dolores, get together. Get together. Mary, you got the car? Get together. Go minister to somebody. Together. How many of you have had someone come and minister to you? Anybody? Is it beautiful? It's wonderful. Have you done it? Why didn't you go visit me? Come on over. Well, I don't know if you can catch me there. Go visit somebody else. Joanna. Go visit Joanna. Wouldn't that be neat? Wouldn't that blow her mind? knock on the door, and she'd see the board of directors there. She'd think, oh my goodness, what have I done wrong? Dolores and Grandma comes in, and Katie comes in, and Kay comes in, or Judy comes in, and Mary comes in, Helen comes in, I could go on and on, Teresa comes in, and they come in and they say, we're just here to minister to you. You don't think she don't need it? She needs it. I have buckets of tears, she cried in our counseling session. She needs it. Let's go visit Shirley. Let's go visit Doris. You see what I mean? You see, we can do dynamic things, and you have the testimonies you give in this church, the things that you do. But let's just fully develop ourselves, amen. And let's have let's really glorify God. Anybody want to add anything to what I said? That you've been challenged by this morning. Be honest with me if you haven't. I'll go home and pray. So, okay, good, good. Let's be challenged by it. I tell you what, I believe this church can be a city on a hill. Amen. Not this church building, but us. Amen? By the way, am I mentioning that? It looks real good about us getting that other church building. We got two banks.